opinions on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Shasta Unmasked on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. Tonight we have Chloe Saylee here to share her sister Nikki Saylee's story. For those of you who may not know, Nikki has been missing from Happy Valley, California since the early morning hours of May 18th. Chloe, can you share with us some things about your sister?
Yeah, so my sister, she's one of my older sisters. There are seven of us total. So my sister was the second oldest sister. Mm-hmm. And
how many was there of you?
So there's seven of us total.
Wow.
So I have my older brother, Cal, and then my sister, May, and then it was Nikki, and then my sister, Kay, and then my brother, Lo, and then me, and then I have a little brother named Danny. Oh. Yeah, so there's a lot of us group in a really big, close family. What was Nikki like? Well, Nikki, I would say she was very leader. She had leader her personality. She was a leader. She's very funny. She was a very good role model for all of us. And she was a very loving person. She had a really big heart. And because she was an older sister, and in our culture, when you are one of the oldest ones in the family, you kind of help take care of the younger ones. Mm-hmm. And so my sister, Nikki, she's more outgoing. She's very talkative. She's friendly. She's bubbly. And so she really took on that role of being an older sister to me and my younger siblings. So,
and we're going to learn a little bit about her personality through her music tonight. Mm-hmm. Because Chloe did share with us some of her favorite songs, so we're going to play them in and out of our commercials. So she took the big sister role. And when you talk about your culture, for those that might not know, what is your culture?
Yeah, so we are Mian, and I know we have a really big Mian community here in Redding. But in Sacramento, Nikki was also part of that Sacramento Mian community there because she lived there after high school. So
okay.
She moved out there for a little bit.
So as children, where did you live as children? Here?
So my parents, they're immigrants.
Okay.
And so they lived in Thailand and Laos, and then they had my three older siblings there, actually four. So my older siblings were actually born there in Thailand, and then they were put in a refuge camp. And so my parents ended up having my sister Kay and Nikki at the refuge camp.
Wow.
And then, yeah, so she had it rough, but they were able to come here to the United States in about, I want to say, in the mid-80s. And so they came here, and my parents wanted to live the American dream. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, so then she lived, they were born over there, but a lot of her life was here in the United States, and here in Redding, California.
Okay.
Yeah, and she went to Juniper Elementary School and then Sequoia Middle School. And then for high school, she went to Shasta. And then my parents ended up moving. And so we were in the Gateway Unified School District. And so she went to CV her junior year in high school. And then after that, she went back to Shasta High School. And that's where she graduated.
Yeah. Was she a cheerleader?
She was not. So, Nikki was not. She's very good at cooking. She's very nurturing, but she was not very athletic.
Okay.
So, yes.
Just wondering, because I remember a Saline from CV that was a cheerleader. So
maybe that's my sister Kay.
Oh, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Was it Kay?
Yeah. It was it like 2004 or 5?
Yes, so Kay graduated in 2004.
Okay, yeah.
But we ended up moving in the Gateway Unified School District, but my older siblings, they all went to like Sequoia and Shasta. So Nikki gave Central Valley a try, and it just wasn't her thing because she's a wolf deep in
there. Yeah.
But me, I went to Central Valley High School. Yeah. Me and my brother and Kay. You know, we're Falcons, so
yeah.
that's
my sister was a cheerleader there, so that's why I remember Samantha Bruno at the time.
Samantha Bruno's your sister?
Yeah. It's such a small town.
That is, yeah, definitely an understatement. So I was a cheerleader also, and my freshman year, Samantha was a senior, I believe, and she kidnapped me.
What do you mean exactly? For the senior freshman thing?
Yeah, yeah, the varsity cheerleader.
Oh, that's so fun.
I remember your sister. She was so sweet.
She's still sweet.
That is the beauty of our small town, though. Everybody knows everybody, and that's why we're here tonight, because we all want to come together and see what we can do to find your sister.
Yeah,
that's exactly right. And I thought our community was small, but it is so big because I've met so many amazing people because of this, and everyone's so nice and kind, and strangers come up to me and tell me they were victims of domestic violence, and I just feel for them because I couldn't imagine.
Yeah, that's the thing. Tragedy brings us together. I feel like the last time we had a tragedy like this was the car fire when it brought everybody together. Mm-hmm. And for victims of domestic violence, I feel like there's a connection also between people when you can share that kind of experience. And I'm not surprised to hear you say that people are coming up to you and sharing that because they want you to know you're not alone with this plight for your sister.
And it's such a complicated situation. Domestic violence is so complicated.
Mm-hmm.
There's no easy fix. There's no easy way out of it. It really takes a lot of support from a lot of people. It takes a strong constitution to finally get one foot out the door, and always that fear that it could end in a situation like your sister has ended up in.
Yeah.
So, what happened after high school? Let's continue on Nikki's life.
So after high school, Nikki and her friend Katie, they moved out to Sacramento. And she was here. Nikki, she stayed here for about 1 or 2 years. She went to Shasta College. Mm-hmm. And then that's when her and her friend Katie moved to Sacramento. And they were there for a little bit. They enjoyed the city life there, and they made good friends there. And I have family members there also. And so, she had a great time in Sacramento, made new friends, and yeah. And then after Sacramento, she came back home, and that is where she met her husband, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
And she came back home, and I remember she was working at Old Navy.
What year was this?
Gosh, this was in, I want to say, between about maybe 2008 and 2009.
Okay.
Yeah. So she came back home, and then after she met Tyler, her and Tyler had their first kid, and then after their first kid, they had three more, so a total of four children.
Yeah. Four beautiful babies. I've seen their photos.
Yes. Lovely children.
Yes. So how old are they now?
So her oldest one is 13, and then there's an 11-year-old, a 9-year-old, and then a 7-year-old.
How are they doing?
You know what? They're hanging on there. They're worried about their mom. It's hard to, we don't want to scare them, but when your mom's missing, it's hard to shield them from all the scariness and what's being said online. But we try to communicate with them in a way where they can understand and a way that they can, yeah, that they can understand and how they can process it at, you know, at those mm-hmm. ages.
Age-appropriate conversations. Age-appropriate,
yeah.
Yeah. It's hard when it's everywhere on the news and everybody's talking about it. And
it is. Yeah. And it's, and because it happened, you know, she went missing in mid-May and there's still about 2 weeks left of school. Mm-hmm. But by before school even ended, a lot of the kids were wondering, hey, like, is your mom missing? Because mm-hmm. it's the same last name. And so, mm-hmm. yeah.
That has to be hard. Okay, so can you tell us a little bit about what happened? Oh, are we taking? Oh, break time. Just kidding.
Sorry,
we'll talk about. Thanks. We'll talk about what happened leading up to your sister going missing when we come back from break, and we'll play one of her songs. Right?
Yep.
Her favorite. Mm-hmm.
You better count your money. You better count your money.
Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, or North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey Personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. Time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Alright, let's go.
All right, we're back with Shasta Unmasked and Chloe, Nikki's sister on KCNR 96.5. This show will also be linked to the KCNR website when we're done tonight. So if you are just popping on, you can go back and listen to the beginning. It also will be available on iPodcasts and Spotify on Thursday.
You're better than me at remembering all this stuff.
I'm having to pause because I don't have it written down tonight. But yeah, we wanted to come back and just talk about what was the relationship like between Nikki and Tyler that led up to your sister's missing.
Yeah, so in the beginning, it was, I want to say, a picture-perfect relationship. It was very ideal. You know, you have this cute little Asian girl dating this tall, handsome, like six-foot-something guy. Yeah, very ideal. It was a really good relationship. And out of them both, Nikki, even though she's very outgoing, she's also very shy. And Tyler, he's very shy also, but he, I think that's what drew my sister to him, was because he was shy, and Nikki can be shy. And so I think that's something, they just hit it off. And so, but yeah, very ideal relationship. And they had four kids and a beautiful home. And, Nikki's background, we weren't rich. We grew up, you know, we had a struggle because my parents had a lot of kids and they didn't speak English mm-hmm. coming to America, but they made it work. You know, my mom worked as a nanny, and then my dad worked also. And then with Tyler's family, he, even though he came from a very a family that had more money, he never judged my family, never judged Nikki. He accepted where and what Nikki came from. And then I want to say, yeah, it was a really good relationship. I didn't see any red flags at all. They would fight here and there, but nothing crazy. You know, the normal couple
right.
fights. Mm-hmm. And then I want to say, starting to, like, 2018 was when we started noticing more of the fights started happening. And then I started noticing that around maybe 2019 was when Nikki was starting to call me a lot and say, hey, can you come pick me up? Or she would leave with the kids and say, I can't stay home because things just got too bad. But she always ended up going back home. So, yeah, I want to say maybe about 2019 was when we started noticing that things were getting physical, and that's when I started noticing the bruises on my sister.
So it was the bruises that you noticed first. She didn't share with you anything before that?
She did not share that anything was physical at the time, but we did know that the fights were getting bad until I remember one time my sister came to my house and I wasn't home, but I could see on our Arlo camera that she had a black eye.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's when red flags. I'm like, holy cow, what mm-hmm. happened?
Which it's very normal in domestic violence situations where the abused person doesn't share that mm-hmm. with her family.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep it to themselves, and mm-hmm. out of shame or fear or whatever the reason may be. So,
mm-hmm. And I think, yeah, I think my sister was embarrassed, but also at the same time, I'm her younger sister, and I think she felt like she had to be my older sister and kind of like, I'm strong mm-hmm. and I'm okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that was what she wanted to portray for me and my mom, because my mom started getting worried also
mm-hmm.
that things were getting out of hand and too physical.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very precarious place to be. Do you know what the catalyst was that changed things in the relationship?
I think no relationship is perfect, but I think that Nikki suspected that Tyler was having an affair. Mm-hmm. And so after the affair, I felt like things were getting better because Nikki loved the idea of a family.
Mm-hmm.
And Tyler was sorry, and they were going to try to work things out. And I think that was kind of how everything started unfolding. And
getting volatile.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh, so sad.
Yeah, it is sad.
So the night that she went missing, into the early morning hours, somewhere in that time frame, what happened that night?
So on Friday night, May 17th, I had been texting my sister. I texted her Thursday. I saw her Wednesday, actually, and then when she left, I texted her. And then on Thursday, I texted her. And then on Friday, I texted her also. And then we were just having, you know, conversations throughout the day. Mm-hmm. And then later that night, I remembered I couldn't sleep because I have a one-and-a-half-year-old, and he had a hard time going to bed that night. So I was awake, and me and Nikki were just texting up until 12:35 a.m. that night. And she did say that her a family member from her husband's side, Tyler's family, was not doing well, and so he was at the hospital, and that's where she was at while we were texting. And then at 12:35 a.m. was the last text message I got from her, and it said that she had her mother-in-law's car and that she was going to drive it back home to her house.
Would that have been a normal thing for her to have that car or to use the car, borrow the car?
Yeah, you know, I mean, she doesn't do it all the time, but I know that if they needed to borrow a car, I know that Tyler's mom would let them. Or if, you know, for an instance, like if they all decided to go somewhere together, I think that maybe my sister might have wanted to go home early from the hospital. And so I think maybe that's why she had her mother-in-law's car.
Gotcha. So nobody knows of any fight that they got in that night. It didn't seem like anything was wrong when she was talking to you.
No, it was totally normal. And someone asked me this too, like, when you read the text message, does it sound like it was her? Mm-hmm. And then that's when I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't even realize to
think about that.
But just like judging from the text messages, I'm like, okay, you know, that was her. So no one took her phone and was pretending to be her. But the whole night, yeah, that me and her were texting. She didn't mention anything about an argument between her or anyone, or between her and Tyler. It was mostly just about how the family was so worried about the other family member.
Mm-hmm. So what happened next? Because was it found that she did actually take the car?
We still don't
know.
Yeah,
okay.
And there hasn't been any surveillance footage that's been
because there's just not communication between the two families now?
So there, with us and Tyler's family, we communicate, and we communicated a lot even before Nikki went missing, but I feel like since after, there hasn't been a lot of communication, but we still talk because about the children.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I did ask, so I heard during this whole, like, trying to figure out where my sister was, I did hear that Tyler told me that she had took an Uber out. And so I was like, okay, well, where did she take this Uber out from? Because I was confused. I was trying to figure out, okay, so yeah. So did my sister drop off the car at her mother-in-law's house and then get a ride back to their house? And if she took this Uber, where did she take this Uber out of? Did she take the Uber out from their house, or did they take the Uber out from his mother-in-law's house? And I did text her, and I asked her if Nikki took an Uber out from her house, and she said no, that Nikki didn't take the Uber out from her house. But there was a mention of her taking an Uber.
Which isn't true, because didn't they find her vehicle then?
Yes, and it... yeah, and I was just wondering, too, if my sister has a car, why would she take an Uber? Yeah.
Right.
So,
and regardless of where she is, her car was found somewhere else abandoned, so she must have had her car.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what common sense would say. We're not investigators here.
Yeah.
That is the assumption.
Yeah.
Not too hard to figure that out. We don't want to get into too many details about the case in particular, because we want to make sure we don't jeopardize any of it, any potential investigation that's going on that maybe the community doesn't know of. Mm-hmm. You know, there are, I'm sure, lots of things going on behind the scenes. And so we want to be very careful that we don't talk and guess and do too much of that. And for now, we do have a break time, so that's another good place to stop. And when we come back, we will dive a little bit more into this sad situation.
Tragedy, yeah.
Thank you.
I'm finding it hard to believe we're in heaven.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right. Even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up. Fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Linda Bott. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Welcome back to Shasta Unmasked, and now we want to cry.
Because, we're all crying.
For one, I feel like Nikki must be my same age. How old is she?
She's 39.
Okay, I'm 42, so similar.
Pretty close.
But all of our music is on point.
Right? Same era.
And then these songs, of course, they're going to be sad ones that she loves, so we can just sit here and be sad. But, yeah, I kind of wanted to touch base a little bit, and I did get your permission to talk about this because I wouldn't just burst this on somebody, but I wanted to talk about in the social media realm, there's a lot of, you called it hateful words being spread around.
Mm-hmm.
And in my personal opinion, it's not helpful when we start getting hateful and splitting apart because we all actually want the same thing, which is to find Nikki and bring her home to her mm-hmm. children and have her be happy and healthy and get to support her through whatever stuff she has moving forward. But I asked you, what is your opinion on the Ready Rancheria?
Yeah, so, you know, the Writing Rancheria is, that's the tribe that Tyler is part of. And it, you know, I do see a big, huge divide. And maybe I wasn't aware of this before, but since Nikki's been missing, I do really see that big divide. And it's hard to, imagine that you're right. We should come together as a community, and I do see a divide, and I don't think it should be like that, but it just sucks because, like, I was just telling you guys earlier too, like, I'm a teacher, and what if I did something horrible and I was not a great of teacher, and parents are like, I'm not bringing my kids to Enterprise High School because Miss Saley is an awful teacher, and all the teachers at Enterprise High School are awful.
Right.
So I think that you have to kind of realize, okay, it's just that one bad teacher. She doesn't represent the whole.
Yeah.
Whole teacher, but.
And I kept thinking, you know, what we're losing accountability for the person that did the wrong, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is, again, speculation. We're assuming that Nikki's allegations are true about domestic violence, and I believe women, so I'm going to say they are. Mm-hmm. And that he's responsible for his own actions. He solely is the one that made the choices. So, that's my personal feelings about it. And I've been glad to see that there was the billboard that was put up for Nikki, mm-hmm. and that they have funding out there available for a reward. What about who else has jumped out of the woodwork? What has the support been like from the community?
Oh my gosh, it's been amazing. Just like earlier how I stated, I met a lot of domestic violence victims, and we've met people from the NorCal for the Missing
Alliance.
NorCal Alliance.
NorCal Alliance.
They help. Yeah, my family as well.
Yeah mm-hmm. they help with making flyers for like certain announcements. And just, I didn't realize how strong my people are. And when I say my people, I mean just like the people in my inner circle. Mm-hmm. They have been so supportive. There's people that are cooking us dinners and checking in on us. And I know that I may not respond all of everyone's messages, mm-hmm. but I see them and I try to heart them and give a little thank you. But I just want to let you guys know those things that you guys do makes us feel so good, and it makes us feel like we do have people that are there supporting us.
I think it's great that the NorCal Alliance is here, because I shared with you earlier, and I don't want to get into this because this is not a story about me and my family, but I did have a missing person in my family,
mm-hmm.
and you never think that you're going to end up there.
No.
And so you have no idea where to start.
Yes.
Not mm-hmm. even like, how do I look for them? Where do I go to look? How do I get people to help me?
Mm-hmm.
Where do we start? Where do we end? What are the resources? And NorCal Alliance was a huge help to my family during that time
yeah.
as well.
Do they have advocates available that kind of stand by your family?
Yeah, so we actually have like a group message. We call it Team Nikki. And there's, I want to say there's like four or five of them who have been super helpful.
That's awesome.
I know. And just random strangers even coming up to me or messaging me and asking me, hey, this is what I have. I have a drone. Can I fly it out there? And I also want to mention, too, there was someone that I went to high school with, and we weren't that close, but we knew each other. But she showed up to the first search for my sister. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, what? Thank you so much for coming. And then she was like, I'm going to buy a drone. I'm like, what?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, okay. So she's been wonderful, and I just couldn't believe that, because drones aren't cheap. They're expensive. And, she went and bought a drone after the first search, and then afterwards we were able to ask if we could use her drone, and she went out there and helped fly over some areas over the river for us.
Is it break time? No, not break time. Okay, good. So how are your parents doing in all of this?
Gosh, my mom is really sad, mm-hmm. Because, you know, that's her baby, and it makes me really sad.
Yeah.
Sorry. My mom's really sad, but we have to stay strong for my mom, and my dad, so he had a stroke 2 years ago. And so my dad, his stroke, it affected the left side of his brain.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
And so my dad is, he understands, but I don't think he fully understands, like, what's going on. And I think it's for the best.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's horrible.
Yeah. Ugh. So awful. And this is why it is so important to have your tribe of people around you. Because in those moments that are so dark, you can't find your feet. You don't even know. I can't remember a full days and weeks and months when my brother went missing.
Yeah, it just, the days and the weeks just kind of mushed together. Mm-hmm. And then, like, I had a friend who was like, hey, remember when this happened? I'm like, wait, what are you talking about? I don't think that happened. Did it happen? Mm-hmm. And so it's like, oh my gosh. So then someone recommended that I have a notebook and just, like, write things down. Yeah,
that's good advice. And you're running on adrenaline, probably.
Yeah, and coffee.
And coffee, yeah. But I just want to say, you and your family are so strong. Seeing you at the courthouse and just watching the Sacramento efforts and all of you just so fierce and so powerful being the voice for your sister. Should be so proud of yourself.
For the people who don't know, what was that all about? The Sacramento? Because I understood what was happening here locally. Yeah. I was a little confused about what was happening in Sacramento. Can you explain that?
Yeah, so it was all the same thing here in Redding also. Mm-hmm. But because Nikki has, we have the Sacramento Umian community there.
Okay.
And so, and Nikki, back in 2002, she did do the Umian pageant. And so she's made some friends there and lots of connections. And when they heard about Nikki being missing, I think it hit them too. Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to rally in front of the state capitol, for Nikki and to stand against domestic violence.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Great.
So earlier we were talking about all of the people that have come out to be supportive of your family. Have you had any strangers being opportunistic, if that makes sense?
You know what? I don't think so. I feel like, I don't feel like
there was some rumors about a GoFundMe account that might be fake.
Yeah, in the beginning, too, we did hear that people wanted to start a GoFundMe account, and we're not against that. We just want to make sure it goes to
the right
place. But people are asking, too, about the GoFundMe account, and we are going to set one up soon. It's just
sure your family sets it up and
official.
It's from an official location.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that would be great, and especially for her children and they're going to have needs coming up soon. I mean, it's school starting, and I'm sure your family can use support. Are you going to be going back to work?
Yes, I will be going back to work. I think about it, I'm like, how am I going to be prepared?
Yeah.
But you know what? It's so crazy because even though I'm going through this really hard time, I really miss my students. Mm-hmm. And actually, my first, because we were on the Nancy Grace show the other day, and my students messaged me, and I asked them when school starts back up, did you guys want, like, my autograph?
Oh, that's so cool.
So they make me feel really good. So my first period students and my fourth period was my tough class. And I love my second and third period class. I love all of them.
Yeah.
They make me feel
good. What do
you
teach?
I teach early childhood education.
Oh, okay. Awesome. And I bet it's normalcy, too. I know having gone through traumatic things, just getting back to normal activity can help with your stamina for the trauma that you're experiencing and can give you the strength you need to keep going forward.
Yeah, and I in one of our chapters in early childhood education, there's like a trauma section, and I'm like teaching them about trauma, but I didn't realize I'm going through a trauma. So I'm like, wait a second. That's what I'm going through.
You're like, I know these things, but
it's different when you're going through it.
Yeah, it's definitely different.
Is there anything that you wanted to share that hasn't been shared yet to the public?
This hasn't really been shared, but I go back and read me Nikki's text messages, and I just realized on May 7th was when she texted me, and she told me she was ready to get a divorce, and that she was going to do it, and she talked about enrolling in school, and in that text message, she was registered for school, and so.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, wow, I wish that she isn't missing so she can actually pursue what she wanted to do. She wanted to divorce, and she wanted to, she's always, we have a sister who lives down in SoCal. She's always like, oh, maybe I should go to SoCal and stay with our older sister May for a little bit. Mm-hmm. But in those text messages before she went missing, she did say, I think I want to go and stay with May for a few weeks. And I told her, no, that's a great idea. And so I was just, it makes me sad because she had so many plans that she wanted to start over.
And we know statistically that's the scariest time for a domestic violence victim is that time of transition when they're trying to get out. That is the most dangerous, most dangerous time for them.
And I didn't realize that, but now I'm reading into more domestic violence in everything and, you know, looking for the red flags and, and that's what I read too, and I was like, holy cow, like everything just kind of makes sense.
Right. Gosh, that's so scary and tragic. I want to delve into, like, the whole idea of a safety plan when you are in that situation, so hopefully anybody listening to that, and I knew we were coming up on a break, so I just want to throw that out there because I will forget to talk about it when we come back from break. To kind of go through the steps of that safety plan for anybody listening who might be ready to get out of those situations.
Yeah. All when we come back.
Let's take a break.
Oh, I cannot explain what's going down. I can see you standing next to me. In and out, somewhere else right now. You sigh, look away. I can see it clear as day. Close your eyes, so afraid. Hide behind that baby's face.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Bot. Join me for the first Thursday of every month at 6 p.m. for my show, North State Now. In this one-hour show, we cover what's happening in the music scene, theater, food, and arts. We get in-depth interviews with local business owners, musicians, actors, and authors. Listen in, tune in, call in, participate. Win tickets to concerts and theater productions. It's a lot of fun, and believe me, it keeps us going. Join me, your host, Linda Bott, for North State Now, the first Thursday, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, also streaming at KCNR1460.com.
This is Carl Bott and Ted Leidy. We want to invite you to our new show, Man Up, the fourth Thursday of each month, right here on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM.
Man Up, 6 to 7 p.m., where we explore the lost art of being a man.
Spirits, cigars, and hit the ground running when you get up in the morning. That's what Man Up's going to be about.
Oh, don't forget motorcycles, guns, and hard work every day.
And those things that men talk about when women aren't around.
That's right, even cooking sometimes.
Even cooking sometimes. People, places, and things.
Serving your family, your community, and your country.
Man Up, fourth Thursday of each month from 6 to 7 p.m. right here on Free Fire Radio.
Another one of those songs. So sweet. Okay, so we're running out of time. Of like always, we wish we had more time to talk about this. But tell us about Nikki and her. Did she ever seek help for domestic violence that you know of?
Yeah, she did. So she went to one safe place. She had always contemplated about going there, but after what happened in December, she went. And she also had a victim's advocate through the DA's office as well, too.
Okay, great. Did she share that with you?
Yes, she did.
Did she share about her experience? And
yeah, she was actually like, wow, everyone's so nice. And she's like, they just want to help. They're so helpful. And she really loved the victim's advocate. Mm-hmm. She was super helpful, too. And we still keep in contact with her, too, because I don't understand all these lawyer terms and legal terms.
Yeah.
So it's nice
that's
I have
much.
Her.
That was going to be my next question, was if you guys have an advocate of sorts for domestic violence, because it is important for family. I think if you have a sister who's missing, to be aware of the cycle of violence and things like that.
I don't know if I can say her name, but she's been amazing.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah.
We do have the number for One Safe Place here, the hotline. So this is the 24-hour number, and it's 530-244-0117.
Yeah.
So if you or someone you know needs help, that's the number.
Yes. We did want to talk a little bit about the cycle of violence. So at the center of the cycle of violence is power and control. So the objective is always to gain power over the victim and gain control of them and their life. Violence can come in all kinds of forms. Obviously, it could be physical violence. It could be psychological violence. There could be sexual violence. And then there's a period of time where there is a honeymoon, usually after the violence mm-hmm. occurs. Sometimes the perpetrator will give gifts. They will say they're sorry. They'll promise they'll change.
Mm-hmm.
And then this is why people stay, because mm-hmm. they experience the good parts, too, mm-hmm. In addition to the bad parts.
Yep.
And then the cycle continues. And oftentimes that cycle gets shorter and shorter and shorter mm-hmm. until there's an explosion of some kind of extreme violence or
that's
someone who's missing.
That's why this story makes so much sense of, like, everything seemed okay at first, mm-hmm. and over time it tends to escalate.
Right. Yeah. So if anybody out there listening is in a position where they're experiencing any kind of intimate partner violence, there is something you can do to help yourself. You can create a plan for yourself and your family.
Yeah, we do have a little bit of stuff here, and we'll post this on the website, but this is just a quick list. And always, always have somebody that knows that this is happening and somebody nearby. Never do it by yourself. It says to develop a safety plan, prepare an emergency kit, so something that you can grab with you really quickly and take, but keep it secret. Plan an escape route, how you can get out if you end up, being detained against your will. Identify safe places. Communicate with trusted people so they know the situation. Gather legal documents. Secure financial independence if you can. Even save money without the other person knowing, if you have to kind of stash that away so that you have some financial freedom, because a lot of times that's why people stay, too. They can't afford to get out. And what are you going to do, take your kids and live on the street, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So unless you have a circle that can help you, stay connected, so keep in touch with those supportive families and friends, and always, when you're making that transition, have a safe person to help you, somebody who also can defend you.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Never try to do it on your own.
And I don't mean to interrupt you, but something that me and my sisters always, if we needed help, if we knew something was off, our thing was, what was May's email, and mm-hmm. then we would know, okay, that's really Nikki that's texting us, or mm-hmm. that's really Kay that's texting us. So mm-hmm.
You guys were already doing that.
Yeah, we had all those things, and so, mm-hmm. and that's why it was really alarming when Nikki wasn't responding back to me, because I was like, okay, wait, I think this is off, but I'm going to give it, okay, another day. Mm-hmm. And then when the text messages I wasn't getting from her, that's when I noticed, mm-hmm. okay, something's off.
Right. Something else you can do if you're experiencing intimate partner violence or abuse of any kind is, if you're able to get yourself into counseling, if that's something that you're able to do in the environment you're in, just having that supportive person that you can tell anything to, mm-hmm. And just take your time to process your life and talk at your own free will. That's mm-hmm. that's an important tool if you can get
a
into
lot of
it.
Times that feels like a threat to that person, right. mm-hmm. that is violent, who needs to keep that power. They're going to see going to therapy as a threat to their power. Mm-hmm. And so that definitely needs to be done safely, mm-hmm. and sometimes secretly.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there were a lot of times when Nikki would ask me to take her to her doctor's appointments. And so, mm-hmm.
So the website also for One Safe Place is ospshasta.org. And did you want to read that number again for the crisis line?
Yeah, the crisis line for One Safe Place is 530-244-0117. That's the local one. There's also a national domestic violence hotline, 1-800-799-SAFE. S-A-F-E.
And again, we will post all of this information on our Shasta Unmasked Facebook page. So we have 4 minutes left. Do you just want to, how much time? Actually, no, we have less than 3 minutes now. Sorry. We had a video we wanted to play, but we will share it on our Facebook page instead. And instead, let's just end these last couple minutes talking about Nikki. How would you like to summarize this experience? What can the community do to support your family? And what do you want us to know about Nikki?
Nikki loved to eat. She was mm-hmm. a foodie. Even though she was really little, she loved to eat. She can make something. I'm not a good cook, but I'll cook and Nikki will eat it and be like, no, it tastes fine. Just put some sriracha sauce on it. She loved spicy food. And so I do see it in her kids too. Some of her kids love spicy food. So I see that a lot. And that Nikki is a very selfless person. She is very fun to be around, and she's your go-to person. And that now that she's missing, me and my siblings were like, where's our go-to person? You know, Nikki was the one that would take my parents to their doctor's appointments. She would take my mom to her appointments in Sacramento. So now we're not used to that, because that was Nikki's role, to help out with my parents. So
when you say that, and you've been saying that all along throughout the show, I've been looking at you thinking she would be so proud of you.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah. You know, yeah, I love Nikki. In my culture, we don't really express that a lot, but we show our love in a different way by like doing favors or doing gifts. Mm-hmm. But I wish I would have hugged her more.
No.
Yeah. Because just in our culture, you know, that we show love differently. But right. Yeah, that's something I wish I would have done more.
So it wasn't you that was yelling into the microphone while Tyler was walking in too. Was that you, or was that one of your sisters?
The one that asked, where's my sister? That was me.
That was you.
I was so, I was very sad, but at the point I was so angry, and a lot of people may be like, how come she's not crying? And I was crying mm-hmm. in the beginning, but now I'm so angry, because how could you take her away from us? Where is she? What do you do? Can you just tell us where she's at?
And you also have your own feelings for Tyler. You said earlier he was nice to you.
But it's hard.
He's
always been so kind to me, because he knows I'm Nikki's youngest sister. Yeah. So he was always mm-hmm. so kind to me.
Right. So that's completely understandable, that someone that is supposed to protect your sister, you fear, has not protected her. Mm-hmm. And of course you're going to ask him where she is.
Yeah, I was very angry.
I think the whole community has this question.
Yeah.
I wish we had more time tonight to talk about this, but we don't. We have to say goodbye. So let's just end this with saying we hope we find Nikki, and we hope return her to her family. Mm-hmm. So everybody keep sharing photos of her and everything else. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
I love you more with every breath, truly, madly, deeply do. I will be strong, I will be faithful, cause I'm counting on you.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.